Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study, and we have been studying the names of God, and our study is, Lord, I want to know you. And it's so good to be back in the Word. We took the months of June and July off and a break, more or less, and now we are coming back, and today we are studying the 10th chapter of Lord, I Want to Know You. And it's about a review here in this chapter. So we're going to go back over what the names that we have already studied so that we can refresh our minds and get back into the Word of God again. So we will start our lesson today in prayer. Heavenly Father, we can't begin to give you the praise that you deserve. As we have been studying your names to learn of your character and your attributes and your very nature, Father, it's overwhelming, but it's so wonderful. It's such a blessing to be able to know you more and to realize what a great and mighty and powerful God that you are. Each of your names tells us about your power, your love, your mercy. And I pray now as we start back in our lesson today, and we're going to review the things that we have studied about you, I ask, Father, that you give us the wisdom and the knowledge to understand by your Holy Spirit, Father, because we know that we can understand nothing without you and without your Spirit. And I just ask that your Holy Spirit teach us and lead us today in our study. And I ask it all in the name of Jesus. The names that we have recently studied, they were eight names. And I'm just going to call these names and give the meaning of each one. The first name we studied was Elohim, which meant creator. God is a creator of each and everything that's been created. Next was El Elyon, sovereign, most high God. He is over all things and everything, in control of each and everything. El Roy, the God who sees. He is the God that sees everything that's going on every day in life. El Shaddai, he is all sufficient. He needs nothing. He is sufficient within himself. Adonai, he is Lord and Master. Jehovah, he is self-existent. He is one. He is Yahweh. Jehovah Jireh, he is Lord that will provide. Jehovah Rapha, he is the Lord who heals. As we looked at the scriptures, I want to read Psalm 9, verse 10. And those who know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, O Lord, hast not forsaken those who seek thee. So we see in God's Word that all that put their trust in Him, in God, that He will not forsake all of those that truly seek Him. So, how do we respond to every situation that comes in our lives? Do we turn to God because we know who He is? Or do we react in our own way? As believers in Christ, we should walk. How? We should walk by the Spirit. And Galatians 5:16 teaches us, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if we are walking in the Spirit, and if we are looking to Him in everything we undertake to do, then we won't walk in the flesh. We will walk in the Spirit. So the children of Israel, they were not indwelt by God's Spirit as we are, because they had not entered into the new covenant. I want to read Jeremiah 31 through 34, and let me quickly turn to that. Jeremiah 31 through 34. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And then verse 34, no more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. I will remember no more. So, we need to know that the people of Israel were a rebellious people, and they were not following the Lord. But we see here that Jehovah had brought them out of bondage, and that He said that in the days to come that He was going to give them a new covenant, and the Spirit then would be indwelt. That was in our day. We now have the Spirit indwelling in us. Now, let's look at Exodus 6, verses 2 through 6. And I will read these verses quickly. Exodus 6, verses 2 through 6. And God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but my name, Lord, I was not known to them. I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, in which they were strangers. And I also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched hand and with great judgment. So the people then were reacting instead of remembering and responding to God. And they grumbled and they grumbled. And he proved himself as Jehovah Rapha, which we know is the God that provides, Rapha, the God who heals. And we saw that example where they came out of the wilderness and into land of Mara, and the water was bitter, but he, Jehovah Rapha, healed that water for them. So instead of calling on Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides, they reacted instead of responding to him. Now let's read Exodus 16:3 and see what the scriptures tell us in Exodus 16:3. And the children of Israel said to them, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, and when we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." So here again, we see they grumbled, and they were saying that you, Lord, have brought us out, and we were in a place where we had pots of meat to eat and plenty. And so God proved himself to them by raining down manna and quail after they had grumbled. So why were they slow to learn? They had seen the great hand of God in many times. So why did they keep reacting to their circumstance of life instead of believing? And then they saw the great Shekinah glory in the cloud, and they knew that he was with them. So as they saw all the miracles that he did, and even seen his glory in the cloud, why would they continue to doubt him and not trust him? Think about today. What are we doing? Are we not doing the same thing? What do we have that they didn't have? We have the Holy Spirit indwelling in us that bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God and joint heirs with Christ. Let's look at Romans 8:16, verses 16 and 7. And I will turn there quickly. Romans 8. 16 and 17. I apologize. I should have had these where I could turn quickly. Romans 8:16 and 17. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So let's look at what Hebrews 13:5-6 says. I will never leave you. This is God, this is the Lord. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? So we should have no fear of anything in life. We should be able to take all of our circumstance to Him and have no fear, because He tells us in His Word that He will never leave us or forsake us. So what did we learn then when we started our study about the Lord in Proverbs 18 and 10? Let's go back and look at that Proverbs 18, 10 and see what it says. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. So, if He, the Lord, is our strong tower, and we as His righteous people know that He is that strong tower, that He is there to take care of us, then why do we not run to Him in all circumstances? All circumstances, not just now and then in some, but all circumstances. So today we're going to do what we call an exercise on how to study the Bible. And we're going to use scripture to be able to do this. But I want to just remind us of how that we begin to learn how to study the Word of God. We first knew there were three things that are the foundation on how to study. First of all, we want to observe. That's called observation. Observation is looking at the big picture, looking at the total scripture that you're studying, whether it's a chapter or if it's more than one chapter. The next thing is interpretation. So we know that we cannot understand God's Word without being able to know what it's saying. And to have interpretation, we have to depend upon the Holy Spirit that dwells in us to give us the interpretation of the Word. And there are a lot of ways that we've learned how to interpret, and we'll talk about that. And then the next thing is application. If we have observed the scripture, we looked at it in a big picture, if we, through the Holy Spirit, have learned to interpret it, if we do not apply it to our lives, it's of no avail. We have to apply it to our lives by living it every day, that others may see Jesus in us, and that we can teach others how to observe and interpret it and how to apply. So the next thing that we learned in our study of how to study the Bible was learning the theme of the book that we were studying. And to learn the theme of it, we have to do those three foundations. We have to observe, we have to interpret, we have to apply it. And when we read the theme, there are several things that will help us to know what the theme is. And I'm going to mention each one of these. Looking at that particular chapter, if we're choosing one chapter, to read over that, to reread it, and to reread it, and look at the words that are repeated. These words that are repeated usually are the main things that is happening in that chapter. They're called key words because they're the key to understanding. And if you see the key, the understanding, then you will be able to know how to get a theme what that chapter is about. And then another thing that we have learned in studying and how to study is what we call the five W's and an H. Now, when you think of the five W's, you want to say who, what, when, where, why, and the H is how. Who wrote it? Who wrote this chapter, this book? What are the main events that are taking place in the chapter? And when did these events take place? And where was it done? Where was it happening? And why was there a need for it to be written? Why was God having this written down? And how was it done? How was it written? And then we look at all of those things, and as we look at the key words and we look at the W's, questions of hows, of what, who, what, when, where, why, and how, then it helps us to get the main theme of the book that we're studying. And we'll notice in reading sometimes there'll be contrast. And then there may be a comparison of two different things. And then there may be conclusions about what that concludes. And then there will be many times an expression of time when something is happening that is an expression of time. Now, we want to read today in Exodus 17, because this is what we're going to look at as we going to learn to do what we call an observation worksheet. It'll help each of us, and every time we open God's Word to read and study is to know how. So all of the things that we've just talked about, we're going to look at. But what we want to do is, it's very important that we learn how, but it's more important that we learn what God's Word is saying. Listen to the Spirit. So I'm going to read quickly Exodus 17. Then all the congregations of the sons of Israel journeyed by stages from the wilderness of Sin, according to the command of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. And therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give me water that we may drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and they grumbled against Moses and said, "Why now have you brought us up from Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, "What shall I do to this people? A little more, and they will stone me." And then the Lord said to Moses, "Pass before the people, and take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand your staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and the water will come out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he named the place Massah and Meribah because of the quarrel of the sons of Israel, and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Now here we see a break But in this chapter, and That's what we want to understand, how to see the breaks that take place as we read, to help us to be able to title the chapter. And then I'm going to read starting with verse 8. Then Amalek came and fought against Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, "Choose men for us and go out and fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will station myself on the top of the hill with a staff in my hand." And Joshua did as Moses told him and fought against Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. So it came about when Moses held his hand up that Israel prevailed, and when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and then they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, and Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other. Thus his hands were steady until the sun set. So Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this in a book as a memorial, and recite it to Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." And Moses built an altar and named it, "The Lord is my banner." The Lord is my banner. And this is where we get Jehovah Nissa. Jehovah Nissa in Hebrew means, "The Lord is my banner." And he said, verse 16, "The Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war against Amalek from generation to generation." Now, as we look at this, so many times, as you study in a chapter, it's good to make a list of some of the key words of the things that are mentioned in that chapter. This is called a list, and you can name things and write things about that particular subject. There are three lists that we should look at today. The first one is the rock, and the next is Moses, and the next is Amalek. Looking at the rock, we want to see what we have learned or what was said in the scripture about the rock. Going back to verse 6, the scripture says, "Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and the water will come out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So what are things that are mentioned there? First we see that the people had complained and quarreled. And so here in verse 6, we know that God said he would bring to them, to the rock at Horeb, and that God himself would strike it and water would come out. So we see here how that God was the provider. He provided the water by striking it. And we see the great power of some of the names that we've studied. And then we see another thing. There's three different times the rock is mentioned. And it's all in verse 6. He says, "Stand before the rock at Horeb." And then he said, "He shall strike the rock." And then the third thing about the rock says that it will come out of it, the rock. that the people may drink. And so that is the things that you would want to list about the rock. And then when you look at the word Moses, and you begin to make a list of Moses. Now, all of these things that we're mentioning, you should mark so that you will be able to look at them, and you, this way you're going to their keywords, and you're going to be able to get the title of what is written in this chapter. And you would be marking the word Lord, because it's a key word. You would want to mark the word water, because it is a key word. Moses is the one that God is speaking to, and the one that the people are groaning to. And another key word would be rock, that we just talked about. And of course, Amalek is the subject where that's a key word also. So, looking at all of these key words, we want to see, we talked about paragraph divisions. The division in the paragraph in this was, the first division was in Exodus 17, was verses 1 through 7. And then the next division would be 8 through 16. And so, looking then at the title, what should we look for in a title? It should be short, and it should at least have one of the key words, and it must be descriptive of the theme of what it's talking about. And it would be distinctive from other chapters and paragraphs. So, looking at the chapter title, what do you think, as we have read and studied and talked about keywords, what do you think would be a good title of this chapter? Actually, since it's divided, you could have two titles in it, because it's talking about two subjects. I think that one of the things that is very important is that would be a good title. It's talking about the commands of the Lord and how that He, being the one that is over all, that He is providing all, then you could look at verse 7, and He named the place Massah and Meribah because of the quarrel of the sons of Israel, and they because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us?" So, it to make it short, you could title it, "The Lord Tested Them," because this was where He tested them. That's what it's about. It was about the testing of the Lord, and it's about what God does, and how that He provided. And you could also say, look at verse 15, "And Moses built an altar and named it, 'The Lord is my banner.'" That would be a good title to be used in, "The Lord is my banner." And it would apply to all of the chapter, including all verses that's in the chapter. So we won't spend a lot of time here on that, but we want to answer some questions that are asked. in our book pertaining to the chapter, and we'll just go to those questions now. What should have been the response of the children of Israel in their no water situation, and why? How should they have responded, knowing that God is sovereign, that He is, knowing what He had done for them? What should have been their response when they reached and there wasn't any water? Don't you think they should have said, God will provide. God will provide. Why? Because they had already learned that His name was Jehovah Jireh. He is the provider of all things. So, let's look at number two. What did smiting the rock represent? And looking at that, we know that it was spiritual. In 1 Corinthians 10:4 and John 7:37 and 39, it tells us that it is spiritual. And I just want to go quickly to 1 Corinthians 10:4. Look at that right quick. And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spirit, that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So, the rock that they were drinking from was Christ. It represented Christ. So now look at number three. What name of God would apply here and why? We know that it's Jehovah Jireh. God provides. And number four, how can we apply no water situation to our own life? Whenever we reach a place of destiny, a place that brings us into a hard situation of life, how can we apply what we have learned today? We apply it the same way that they should have applied it. We turn to Jehovah Jireh. We follow the Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. And if we will turn to Him, to trust in Him, that He is going to provide. He's going to take care of every situation. And we don't have to worry. It will be in His time, in His way. Not always as we expect, not always way as we want it to be. But we know through His Word and through His promises that He, the Lord, Jehovah Jireh, that provides, will always be there. He will never leave us, and that He will provide every situation in life. So under all circumstances, we need to run to the high tower. That is God. We need to run to Jehovah Jireh. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, do help us to overcome the things, the obstacles, the things that Satan will put in our way, in our thoughts, in our life, that will cause us to doubt, that will cause us to fear. Father, instead, help us to remove those things and to place Your Word, Your thoughts, into our very being, and run to You in everything of life that we face, every circumstance, all things, all things, Father, because you are God, you're Almighty, you're the Creator, you're Elohim, you're El Elyon, you're Mighty God. You are Jehovah, Lord. You are Adonai. You are Master. You are our provider, Jehovah Jireh. You are Jehovah Rapha, our great physician. And no matter what we face, we can run to you, Father. Thank you for your word. Thank you for who you are. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.